Hey everybody, this is your host, LaVie. Welcome to Thrift Therapy, the podcast all about thrift life. Recycling, collecting, DIYing, all the ups and downs, ins and outs of thrifting. So glad you joined me for this thrift adventure. Thrifting queens. So you guessed it. This is Abba. Arrival. Yeah, I thrifted it. 99 cents. And this song gets five nagels, for sure. Five out of five nagels. But I gotta be honest with you, the rest of the album really sucks. It's not great. I mean, nobody send me hate mail, but Abba's really not a super great band, in my opinion. I do like a lot of the work inspired by their work, like fashion stuff, and I like the musical, but, yeah, I don't know. It's pop music, what can I say? If you love this song enough to buy the whole record like I did, then five nagels, right? If you don't love this song enough to buy the whole record, let me play this clip for you because, oh my God. Are you annoyed yet? Are you? Really? Yeah, me too. This is, if I were at a funeral, I think I'd be okay, but holy moly, this is kind of depressing somehow. I don't know, I just feel like I'm standing in the mist at a gravesite, but the name of the song is called Arrival, and it's the title track on this ABBA record. There's nothing else on this whole album that I really like at all. I say skip it and listen to the title track. I mean, not the title track, don't ever listen to that, but listen to the Dancing Queen song because it's awesome on Spotify. Skip this one. I just bought it because I just need it in my collection. I was there. And I'm glad I have it because I chose it to reflect the grooviness of our guest today. She always says groovy. She acts groovy. And I always think of ABBA and discoing and roller skating. She's amazing. Sherry, the refashionista, is going to be with us today, and I can't wait to introduce you to her later in this episode. So first of all, I want to talk to you guys a little bit about the recent event that I posted in between this episode and the last episode. I went to Thrift Stories in Austin, as those of you who follow me on Instagram and are part of the Facebook well know. So I had planned on doing a live recording, but I didn't think about internet connection, and so I was going to just download the app when I got there. That was a really dumb idea. And then I forgot my battery pack for my phone, and so I had to use my laptop, and I just didn't have a way to buffer all the sound. But after that event, I got in touch with a tech guy to see if maybe he could clean up the audio, and he had the same trouble I did, so you know, I said, thanks for trying. But he gave me a nice tip on in the future because I asked him, I said, hey, while I've got you, what's a good setup for recording live in a noisy atmosphere like this where I can get the vocals a little bit more pronounced? And so he hooked me up with an awesome microphone pack and I am ready for my next event. I don't know if I'm going to go live, but I am going to record some live interviews. And so that means it's not in a controlled environment across the internet or whatever. But I have a new mic pack, so hopefully it'll sound a lot better than the last one. And for those of you who listen to it, thanks for listening, even though it's really, really noisy at the place we were at. I'm happy to announce that the thrift store was successful. And I think that Kim Sanch of Thrifty ATX is planning on doing them annually if possible. And I was thinking maybe we could do one here in San Antonio. And if anybody wants to organize one in New Braunfels, definitely reach out to either Kim or I. And let's just see if we can keep that thing popping in San Antonio. I want to say thank you to a couple new subscribers to my thrift boxes, and that would be Candace S. and Anna B. So that would be Candace S. and Anna B. Thank you for joining the thrift bag, and I've got each of you guys stuff together, and I'll be sending it out this next week. Since you came in late, Candace, I think yours is actually already on the way. Anna, you're the one who came in right before March the 1st, so I just got your stuff, and I'll be sending it out later this week. Thank you guys so much for supporting Thrift Therapy. I appreciate you. I want to let you guys know that I had a couple openings come up on the very first level of the thrift bag subscription, and I've decided I'm going to close that level at the end of March. So if you want to get in on the $30 thrift bag unicorn mystery box, because I stopped selling those a while back, and there's just a few openings because a few people have taken a hiatus for this month. So I let them know that if they decide to come back, that they can have a grandfathered $30 level merchandise, a $30 level thrift bag. But so you're not going to be taking anybody's place, but I'm going to sell these last 30 ones that just opened up, and I'm going to close it, and it's going to be only $40 thrift bags. So here's a couple things. If you want to get a $30 thrift bag and get grandfathered into that price, for as long as I have a podcast, you need to do it now. And then if you have a $30 level, you probably don't want to let go of that unless you're, you know, good with thrifting for like ever. Or you want to move up to the $40 level. Because what I do is I give a couple more pieces, an extra garment and an extra piece of jewelry, and it just works out better because I get to use the same shipping, and so I'm just discontinuing the $30 bag. So you get a little more merchandise, but the shipping's the same, and then that level's closed, so you can only buy $40 through one time on PayPal, or if you want a subscription, you have to go through Patreon. And all of that's on my website, thrifttherapypod.com. I did not have great luck last month on thrifting, but this month the thrift gods are smiling again, and I found some amazing stuff. It wasn't last month. The past month, just the one I just sent, was amazing too. But January, I just didn't find a lot of stuff. But ever since the Maria Kondo thing, oh my God, the thrift stores have been flush. And so your girl's been getting great shit. So I'm super excited. I have all the way up to 3X right now. So I have 00 to 3X. I've got your size. I'm size inclusive. It's going to be fun. But I seriously am really busy, and I've been getting busier. So these are going to start to become limited items that I do. I can only style for so many people. So if you're in the club, you're in the club. So we're good. All right. Well, that's enough of that. I want to tell you guys about it wasn't a quick thrift haul, but I'm going to tell you about it quickly because I want to get into the interview. It's jam-packed with cool shit. So listen, today I went thrifting, and you know how I asked the question, would you rather go alone or with friends, to everybody? And I always say, oh yeah, I totally like to go alone. Well, occasionally I do like to go with friends, but it's usually entertaining. I found my thrift soul sister. I haven't had one in a while, probably since Jules or Sonia. Hey, shout out. But Stephanie can really thrift. So we did a great job today. I posted a picture on Instagram, Thrift Therapy Pod. of our giant freaking hauls and how much we paid for it. So head on over to Instagram so you can see the amazingness of our thrift haul today. It was incredible. It was bins worthy good. Right on. My thrift haul was 5 Nagels. That record? But my thrift haul? Oh, yeah. Okay, let me see what else. Oh, I was going to tell you some of the thrift haul. That's right. Sidetrack. Anyway, I got one giant tub of stuff and she got half a tub. And these are big, big tubs, right? You could bathe the dog in it. And I got so much stuff for sending out thrift gifts. And for this March, the coming Patreon bags, I'm already like probably 90% sourced, you guys. It was great. I found so much stuff. And my friend Stephanie, she did my husband's job. He couldn't go today. And she was just as good as he was, quite frankly. And I was surprised. So you go, girl. And my husband says, mm-mm. But you know, he doesn't like the idea that anyone can replace him. So I get that. But she was really good. So if you want to see the items I got, I will probably post some of them on my new YouTube channel. What? Now, it's not like other YouTube hauls where everybody's cute and fun. This is mostly silent and I just show my stuff. I do plenty of talking about thrifting on this podcast and I just don't want to do any more talking. This is like where I want my content to go in terms of thrift energy and advice and stuff, but I did want to find some way to document the items I got, so I'm just doing a visual thrift haul. So basically, it's an animated flat lay. That's a better way to think of it. But if you want to check it out, it's at Thrift Therapy Pod on YouTube. And then I post it on Instagram TV, which is an equivalent, I suppose, but it's embedded into the Instagram app. And so if you follow Thrift Therapy Pod on Instagram, you can see the thrift hauls on IGTV. And there's like a little icon in the upper left corner. All right. So listen, that is all the news that I have for you guys today. Don't forget to go to my website, thrifttherapypod.com, if you want a thrift bag. Remember, $30 levels on Patreon are closing at the end of March. What else? Oh, yes. Don't forget to rate, review, and subscribe to the podcast. Tell a friend. Pass out some stickers. Be hilarious. That's always good enough for me. If I just know there's someone hilarious in the world right now, that's good enough. But if you want to support the podcast the easiest way, just listen, stay caught up. That really helps. And as always, you can leave a 5-star review. I didn't have a new one to read this week, so I'm chomping at the bit for a new thing to say online. If you drop me a review and you snap a picture of it and email it to me at thrifttherapypod.com, I'll send you some free swag. I'll send you a button. I'll send you a magnet. I'll send you some stickers, that kind of stuff, okay? And you never know, I might throw in a thrifted item. So I'm going to take a break for a sponsor right here, and then we'll get into the interview, all right? All right, it's time for the interview. Let me introduce you guys to the guest. Sherry is an award-winning DIY author of a book series, host of a YouTube channel, and she writes a blog called Confessions of a Refashionista. She comes up with all kinds of cool refashion tutorials to tell you how to upcycle your thrift finds, to create art projects, to save things that have a flaw. She does some really, really great stuff. If you want to check out how deep her fashion knowledge goes and her thrift knowledge goes and her sewing knowledge goes, actually, Sherry is a jack of all trades. If you want to know something about thrift, go to her awesome website called awesomesauceasshattery.com. Now, I will put a link in the show notes, so be sure and check that out. So without further ado, here's Sherry the Refashionista.
Hey, Sherry. Welcome to Thrift Therapy.
Thanks very much. So, so happy to be here.
I'm super excited to have you. You're like a... Oh, I don't know. You're like the kind of prolific thrifter that I aspire to be.
And you are the vintage vixen I aspire to be.
Fabulous. We're just going to have a compliment fest for like the next 45 minutes. It's going to be the best.
Exactly, yeah.
And I wanted to have you on the show because, well, a couple reasons. I met you through a mutual thrift friend, Sammy D.
Mm-hmm.
Holler. And we just started chatting online. And when I looked over your website, now, your website isn't called Confessions of a Refascination. It's called, what is it? Something Ass Hattery. I remember that.
It's actually my everything is called Confessions of a Refashionista, but the website address is awesomesauceasshattery.com.
That made me laugh out loud.
That's the goal. That's the reason. It is what it is.
Yes. And when I read that, I was like, oh, friends. Yes. Where, when, how did you very first get into thrifting? What's your origin story?
Well, I think I'm a little bit unique in that I did not grow up thrifting. I grew up in a household that was very anti-secondhand, and all of the horrible myths that I try to bust about thrifting now are things that were told to me when I was growing up. You know, it was dirty, it's just for poor people, all of these ridiculous things that we should know that are untrue. I mean, especially if you're an adult, you should realize that. But again, I guess different time growing up in the 80s, I have no idea. So my thrifting journey, it didn't actually begin until I left home. And then I really couldn't wait to hit the charity shops and the thrift shops and score all of these wonderful vintage pieces that I had been coveting all throughout high school, but I was never allowed to have.
So
there
were rules. Wow.
So it really is when I read other people's stories or I listen to other people's stories, and I can't really relate to them. And it does make me a bit sad that I was never able to kind of have that bond with the people in my family of going through the racks at the thrift store, or the shelves, or, you know, all of that kind of stuff. It wasn't there for me. But now I do that with my own daughters.
That's a nice intergenerational fix. I love it.
Yeah, I've now created a new generation of thrifting in my family, so that's great. Yeah.
Yeah, it's very common that as a therapist, I see this all the time, that parents want to correct something in their own childhood that either went wrong or that they missed out on, or that they think could be better. And what we call that in therapy is, if it's bad, we call it intergenerational trauma. Mm-hmm. But when it's corrected, we call it intergenerational repair.
I'm doing an awful lot of that. I don't have contact with my family. So I do an awful lot of that in my life. Intergenerational repair. I really like that. So
I do too. It makes me feel like anything's possible.
And it is. It really is. I mean, like I said, for myself, I'm living proof that you can kind of come from a not so fantastic background and really transform yourself into the person that you always aspired to be when you were a kid. You know, you can make that happen when you're a grown up, which is fantastic.
You know what, Sherry? There is someone listening to this podcast right now that needed to hear that. I just know it. Yes, mm-hmm. You can be who you want to be. And that's one of the things that I love about thrifting is it's a community really built on bettering yourself in some way.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
It's like, I need a thing. I'm going to go get it. So even that. But mm-hmm. also, like, I don't like what the world is telling me I need to buy, so I'm going to go buy whatever I want.
And you're going to get what makes you feel happy and what you feel great in. You know, this is the thing that I find is missing in kind of the consumerist mainstream mall shopping experience is you go there and it's stores and mannequins and whoever telling you what you need to get. But when you go to a thrift store or a charity shop or a swap, it is you telling you what you like the feel of, what patterns you like, what, you know, it's all about you and how you feel. It's nobody telling you what to do or how to look or what to wear.
Good point. I feel like a thrift squirrel, like I'm out hunting for treasure.
Yeah, you know? Exactly.
Speaking of, I've watched a lot of your videos and I was thinking, like, you know, those people that hide things at thrift stores? I was thinking that those are thrift squirrels. They're like little thrift squirrels.
Exactly, exactly. And that's why you have to check every section at the thrift store, because you can usually find something awesome that someone else has hidden away and get it for yourself.
I know. That's one of your really good tips.
Yeah.
Like, don't forget to check in the book section for lamps, for example.
Yes, you saw that one. That is where I got that beautiful vintage lamp. That was like such a score. And again, someone, I don't know if they had hidden it there or maybe they just decided they didn't want it. And as you know, people just kind of chuck things wherever they want to. But again, they do that in mainstream stores as well. But yeah, that was an amazing find. And of course, I still have it to this day.
So. That's awesome. So, you know, now we have a lot in common. The more videos I watched, the more I saw that we had in common. One of the things we have in common is we sew. Now, before you talk, let me warn you, I do not sew at the level you sew at. It's too frustrating. But I'll fix something. I'll take something in. Sometimes I'll rearrange something a little bit. But you're amazing. Like, tell me a little bit about your sewing evolution. When did you start sewing?
Well, again, I think once again, I'm quite the unique little unicorn here in that I began sewing only about 6 years ago.
Wow.
Yeah. And I only started doing that because I had inherited this huge, heavy, terrifying vintage machine from a great aunt when I was living in Berlin. And she gave it to me because she couldn't really use it anymore. And said, oh, here, you can hem your pants and do whatever. And that's what I started out doing, just kind of doing really basic alterations. And then because clothes never fit me properly off the rack, like ever, I have kind of a large chest and nothing ever fits ever. And I started looking online, found some tutorials, and that is how my refashioning journey began, just kind of wanting my own clothes to fit better and be the right length. And yeah, I totally taught myself. So again, proof that regardless of how old you are, you can start something brand new and do whatever the hell you want with your life.
I love that message because I got to be honest with you and the listeners. Sometimes I feel irrelevant doing this podcast because I'm so much older than the influencer crowd, I guess, in the thrift community. And you're with me, right?
I'm 45, so.
Yeah, I'll be 50 next year. So, I've been thinking a lot about age and what sort of messages I've internalized about age. And whenever I find someone else my age really living authentically and not silencing themselves as they age, I just feel like a sense of kinship. So I want to thank you for being yourself and putting yourself out there and not listening to those stereotypes that tell women in particular, you don't have anything to say after 40. Like, you know what? Fuck all that.
Like, I was out of North America for 22 years, right? I left when I was 22, and I came back when I was 44. And during that time, I started out, I left originally because I got a very lucky modeling contract to Japan, and then I was there for a bunch of years, and then I moved on to England for a few years, then I moved on to Greece. I had my own bilingual entertainment newspaper there, and then I spent 8-9 years living in Berlin, Germany. And I can honestly say it wasn't until I returned to North America that my age really kind of punched me in the face.
Aww.
Yeah, it was, the reverse culture shock was so massive. And it's very disappointing to me how behind North America, I mean Canada, but Canada and the US are when it comes to any kind of open-mindedness regarding pretty much anything, but in particular, as we're talking about age and women, you know, we are not supposed to age. We are not supposed to have an opinion. And it really, it is very, very different, from, you know, where I was recently living in Europe, where things just are a lot more open. And again, even when it comes to, thrifting and secondhand and upcycling and, sustainability, I think North America also really has a long way to go, compared to elsewhere in the world. So I think
that's really good information to have. I have mixed feelings about it, but it's great information to have. I feel encouraged that, you know, maybe there's other parts of the world that have something to tell me about aging that maybe I haven't heard, which sounds very exciting. But then I feel sad to know that maybe we're, once again, we're like at the bottom of the list in openness here in this culture. And I find that very sad. Uh-huh. I do think something occurred to me is that perhaps one of the reasons that we're so constrained socially in our society here is because we're very consumer minded. And if you apply that to aging, it kind of makes sense, right? Like, well, I've used up your best years, quote unquote, and you're just no good to me anymore. So let me just throw you out with these clothes and this car and this house. Yeah. And man, that's just ouchy.
That's something else that, and again, I'm not saying that Europe, Asia are like so far ahead, but there are differences, you know, like I, watching television or even walking down the street, the media and the advertisements, I could always relate to someone, something over there. Whereas here it's like, okay, so if I'm not 22, I shouldn't use that mascara. It's very, like you said, it's a very kind of a lot more consumerist over here. And I don't really understand that, because if you think it actually is kind of the older people who are making the big purchasing decisions.
Yeah, totally. People that are in their 20s don't have any money right now. It's hard to have money in your 20s now. I probably had more money in my 20s than they're going to see for a while.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
It doesn't make sense. But I was in Austin last year for South by Southwest. And I think that's the oldest I've ever felt. Like every single thing there was geared towards the youth market, you know, like 18 to 28. You've got 10 years. It was really heartbreaking. But, you know, there's only sometimes it gets to me, because I don't participate a whole lot in those messages. And I just notice it sometimes.
Yeah.
But one of the things that I really like about you in particular and your brand of Confessions of a Refastinista is that I can see your experience in there. Even if you didn't start some of these things until later in life, you have follow through. You have consistency of message. I mean, you write ebooks. Tell me a little bit about all the different things that you do to support your message of refashioning and sustainability.
Well, first there's the blog, the main blog, Confessions of a Refashionista. But then a few years ago, in an effort to help my fellow thrifty divas, refashionistas and upcyclers, I started a secondary blog called refashionnation.com. And over there, all I do is share links and photos of other people's work to try to help get the message out more and to get more eyes on not just me, but other people as well. Because I think that's really important, you know, to help each other out as much as we can to try to get our messages as spread far and wide as possible. And the best way to do that is, of course, online. I mean, it's worldwide. So that's pretty awesome.
Yes.
I also have my channel, and I've had that for a few years, but I only really got serious about it a couple years ago. And since then, I post a new video every Friday. And I actually occasionally bring in my acting talents, and I was a teacher for many years. Acting was my first love. That was what I was educated in, and that was my big dream when I was young.
Totally can see that.
Yeah, I've sang in bands. I've done stand-up comedy. I mean, any kind of performing. And like I said, I was a teacher because I think that's just another way of performing. So I do try to bring in the entirety of my life experience into what I am currently doing. So I try to present everything that I do in an informative yet entertaining manner, because that's something I learned when I was teaching, is if you can actually impart information in a way that you're making people laugh, they will remember it.
And
this is something I think anyone can relate to. Everyone, we had those teachers in high school that we were just bored out of our minds. And then you had that one teacher that was fun, and that's the one you remember, and that's the one you did well on the tests and everything. And so I really, you know, that's kind of how I try to present my own work, in such a way that people not only want to see more, but they are actually learning something, maybe unintentionally, while they're being entertained.
Yes. I think that's a great catch, because I feel the same way, and I do that in therapy too. You know, of course we cry a lot in therapy, but we laugh a lot too. Because it is about growth. It's about learning and investigating. So I agree with you.
Yeah. So I have Refashionation, Confessions of a Refashionista blog, the channel, my 17 eBooks that I've written. I actually also do have a published book, and I have, I think, 2 or 3 books now on Amazon Kindle. And again, every single thing, I'm a one-woman show. I do it all myself.
Amazing.
Yeah, it would be lovely, you know, to have the big staff like some of these huge bloggers have, and professional photographers and everything, but I'm not there yet. So you just got to keep kind of hustling and doing your best, and that's what I'm doing right now.
Well, your best is pretty good, I gotta say. I mean, I don't know how you have the energy for it all, and that's one of the things that comes across in your YouTube channel, is you have a high level of energy. Where does that come from? Where do you get that? Like, are you doing lines in the sewing room? What's going on?
Honestly, I think it is. It comes down to the anxiety. I really do. I honestly have this need to put out my best possible work, you know, and I just use free programs for editing and everything like that. I'm still using the same old design program I used way back in Greece to design my bilingual entertainment magazine that I had there for 5 years. Like, nothing's, you know, so I have everything kind of in my way that I do it, and it is working for now. But I think, yeah, that's the best answer, is anxiety, the hope, dream to do the best that I can. And, when you do have high anxiety, I think the energy level is usually up pretty high. Because
it's interesting too, because I think that where that comes from is the adrenaline that comes with anxiety.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
And I think it's great that you're finding a good outlet for that, because a lot of times when I'm working with anxiety in therapy, the anxiety is just, and the adrenaline is just dominating the mind and the body. Mm-hmm. And there's not enough space inside for all of it. So taking it and putting it into something is actually quite therapeutic and productive. So I'm really glad you said that. I hope that those of us with anxiety listening and talking, right? I have anxiety too. And I think it makes me very productive.
It does. And it is really important to get that out there, that any creative person I've ever met in my life has anxiety. I have yet to meet a creative person that is just totally relaxed at all times, and, you know, in without going into their own mind too much. And I think having an outlet for this adrenaline, as you said, and having a creative outlet is the best way to deal with it.
Yeah, I think so. And one of the barriers that shows up sometimes is people want, with anxiety, are looking for truth and righteousness, and, you know, something sort of very clear. And I try to encourage you to let that go. uh-huh. and do something creative instead, uh-huh. where there's no right way. There's some wrong ways, I suppose, but there's no right way. Like, you can really let that adrenaline move through you. You can get some really creative ideas and add your imagination to your process rather than your analysis and your need for control. So exactly. That's where anxiety can go bad.
And that's why upcycling is so great, because there is 100% no right way. Because you are never using the same materials twice. It's not like you buy a kit and there's instructions. Like, every single one of my tutorials, this is the first time I am doing it. So I don't know.
That's amazing.
I don't know how it's going to come out. You know, I have an idea of how I want it to come out and the steps that maybe it might take to get to that result. But honestly, I would say it's about 50-50 that things come out as I actually intended.
Well, I don't think I've seen one of your oops videos then, because I think it's really important to share our mistakes and to be open about not being the one of the things that I don't like about social media culture, Sherry, is this over-polished, overproduced, perfect lifestyle.
But again, like I said, this is what's so great about upcycling, because there is no perfection. So even like in a few of my videos and lots of my tutorials, I do mention and say, like, I originally wanted to use this material, but then I had to end up using this one because it wouldn't stick, or I couldn't sew it, or whatever. And I am really, really honest, because I absolutely despise this kind of fakeness that is everywhere, especially online. And the same like with my daughter, I am raising her to be pretty brutally honest and with herself and with others, because I think it is so important that we don't fall into this comparison trap. This is something that, again, I noticed upon returning to North America that is a lot worse here than elsewhere I have lived, is this kind of up and down look that women give other women, and then their daughters see this, and then they do it to the other girls at school. And I mean, my daughter's only 7, and she's already experiencing, you know, this type of behavior from other 7-year-old girls. And it's like, why do you have to judge, you know? And again, it comes down to society and expectations, et cetera, as we were saying before, the whole consumerist, you have to look a certain way and talk a certain way. I don't think you do have to. I think you can just be you.
I love it. Absolutely. Yeah. I'm 100% on board with that message. And in fact, you know, I think I've said it before on the podcast, but it's the kind of thing that bears saying again, on repeat. This podcast isn't going to become that. It's not who I am. I'm not going to have people on here and make everything sound perfect and like we're always every day living our best life, because I just don't believe that's a positive message. It sounds positive, but I think it has negative effects. I think the impact is bad. So, you know, I hope that's something that people, you know, still want to be a part of, because I think it's just much more relatable. So thank you for sharing some of your ups and downs. I really appreciate that.
Oh, yeah. And again, on my site as well, I have a whole section called Personal Bits and Pieces. And I do get quite personal in some areas on my site. Sorry, I'm getting a bit emotional now. Those are the posts that always get the most engagement, and I get the most messages of people thanking me and saying, you know, oh, I thought the first one I did, it was such an eye-opener to me that people really do just kind of see what they want to see when you're online. And so people were seeing what they saw as a pretty blonde lady who knows how to sew, and isn't she just perfect and all of this. And then when I kind of said the truth of what was going on behind the scenes, it was such an eye-opener to so many people that, whoa, she's not at all what I thought. And then going further with that, I never said I was what they thought. They just chose to see what they wanted to see instead of actually reading you know, what I was writing. And I got so many wonderful messages from my readers and fans, you know, saying they were going through similar situations or they had been through similar situations. And just knowing that my blog was there with this kind of happy, inspirational message for them every day really helped them get through when they were having hard times. So that's really important to me to continue doing what I'm doing, because I do know that it does help people.
Yeah.
And the message does get through. So
yeah. It does. And I think that really fits in with Thrift Life so well. And maybe that's why I think that's one of the reasons that most of the people that I meet in the thrift community are so relatable to me, that I can make such easy connections with them. And that's because we share this sort of common experience of finding the unusual, contributing in some pay it forward way. Some things that represent my values, my bigger moral sensibilities. So it's really nice. I'm really glad to use the internet to connect to other people who thrift, because in many ways they're my people. Not just that we do this thing, but that the values kind of line up, if that makes sense.
It absolutely does. Yep. Yep.
Well, I want to talk about something a little bit lighter. I want to talk about, we have some shared obsessions. Tell us a little bit about your thrift collections.
Oh, yes. Actually, just yesterday, which was Tuesday, for those who are listening to this whenever you're listening to this, every Tuesday I do a Refashionista chat live on my Confessions of a Refashionista Facebook page. And yesterday I shared some of my vintage handbag collection. And it actually went very, very well. I didn't think people would be so interested in that, because it's basically just, you know, a kind of show and tell, but people really responded. So that was great. So yeah, vintage handbags are 100% my downfall at the thrift store. And I've been known to have to tell my child, don't let mommy go to the bag section.
You put your child in charge of your thrift boundaries. I love it.
Because I don't know what it is about vintage handbags. I mean, part of it I do know is I so love imagining who owned it. And again, this also into my quirky character Refashionista videos, where I, you know, become possibly the person who had worn the article of clothing before I refashion it. But I really like making these little stories in my head, and I have no idea why handbags, in particular vintage handbags, are what does it for me, but that's what it is. And I have an insane collection of them. And
How many do you think you have?
I would say over 50.
Holy shit. That's a lot. I love that. I mean, beauty is one of my values, aesthetics maybe. And it's really in my top three values. It's something I can always find meaning and pleasure in. The way that I make meaning out of these aesthetically pleasing objects is that I envision somebody making it.
Anything that's like old and handmade, like when I lived in Berlin, the Sozialladen, which is a charity shop there that I went to all the time, they always had beautiful handmade lace and embroidery. And my collection is massive of this kind of stuff. And I actually then sew it all together and make it into dresses and tops and all of this kind of, you know, fancy schmancy clothing items. But for me, there's so much love in these items, you know, and that's what I always think when I see something that's handmade in the thrift store. I have a hard time not getting it, because I just can feel the love that went into making it.
So what advice do we have for newbies? What advice do we have for these young up-and-comers? Or, you know what? They don't even have to be young. People who are just discovering the thrift world and recycling and repurposing.
Something that's really important is to do your research. You know, I mean, if you are serious about starting, let's say, a blog, you want to start a blog, you want to start doing what I do, be prepared to research and be super open-minded, because starting anything new, it takes a lot of work. It takes a lot of work internally and externally. I, you know, to do what I do, I had to learn HTML coding. I was always in front of the camera when I was a model and an actor, and I had to learn everything behind the scenes as well as doing everything in front of. But it also, it's hard work. And you don't get paid for it, but it's absolutely worth it for what you do get in return, which, as we were talking about before, is the knowledge that you are helping others. And in addition to everything that I share on my blog, I mean, there's over 1,300 totally free tutorials over there. I also have a section on my site called Behind the Scenes of Blogging. If anyone wants to get started, I have shared every single tidbit I have ever learned about blogging over there. So it should help out a lot of people if they do want to get started kind of doing a little bit what I do. And it is very, very honest. So there's no surprises coming at you. So I think that's kind of my best advice, is before you start doing anything, kind of research it more than a bit, and make sure it's something that you really are prepared to do, and be prepared for the work that's involved in doing it, so you don't get disappointed. I mean, a lot of people, I think, maybe look at what we do online and they think, oh, it's so easy. You just take a picture, or you just do this, or you just talk into a microphone for your podcast. But there's a lot that goes on behind the scenes that people don't see up front, which is, again, why I created that section on my blog, to let people know that, yeah, a lot does go on, and here's how you can do it yourself.
That's really great advice. And I think that a lot of people will benefit from it, to recognize that there's going to be a learning curve before they get started, and to try to figure out what kind of learning curves they might expect. If they do that research, they'll have a better grasp on how to be a finisher. That's one of the things that I think a lot of people struggle with, is finishing. A lot of people can start, but they're not all finishing. And I think that tip that you gave is a really great way to be better at finishing. It's not that you have to know everything before you get started. Don't worry about that. It's being prepared for what the emotional and the cognitive journey might be like for you. Yeah, that's really good.
That even goes along with, if you're just starting out going to thrift stores, I mean, something as simple for us as walking into a thrift store, for some people, it really is difficult because of all of those crazy myths that I was talking about. And again, I don't know if you watched that video of mine where I bust the thrifting myths. Something's worn by one person a few times and washed, you know, that's a lot cleaner even than brand new items that are made in the piecework, where one piece is made in Bangladesh, another piece is made in the Philippines, another piece is made in Africa, and then they're all put together in Romania. And each time, like, that's disgusting. Those items are not clean when they take them out of the shipping boxes in the fast fashion stores, and even in some designer stores, and then hang them up on the rack. Plus, then how many people could have tried that item on before you even bought it? You know, brand new.
So true, so true. And you have a great little ebook on sustainability. Can you tell people how to get it? Because I think a lot of listeners in particular that listen to this podcast want to be sustainable. And your tips are really, really good. They're really friendly tips. What's the name of your book? How can they get it, etc.?
Well, all of my ebooks are available at awesomesauceasshattery.com.
I just want to make you say that like 15 times.
And And it's right at in the very top menu bar. It says my $3 ebooks, and that's the thing. They're only $3 each, so it's, you know, less than a coffee to get these books. And there's everything from, like you said, the sustainability book, which has all of my very budget-friendly tips and tricks and tutorials for living a more eco-friendly, sustainable lifestyle. And I'd also like to point out that I'm not rich at all. I actually have a very low income. And so if I, with my very low income and tight budget, am able to live incredibly sustainably, then anybody can do this. And like I said, as with all of my upcycling tutorials and everything, when I start doing something, I it's the first time I'm doing it. So it was the same when I started out kind of trying to live more sustainably. I was just trying things out, and the things that worked made it into the book and made it onto my blog. And the things that didn't, I kind of, you know, threw away, threw in the recycling bin, because, you know, there's no point in sharing things that don't work.
So do you see what I mean, listeners? I mean, there's no way I can cover everything that Sherry's got her hands in. So you're just going to have to visit her website. You're going to go on like a deep dive rabbit hole, thrifty extravaganza. Because that's where she's at. She's down there in all those rabbit holes generating content, and it's really good. So go check it out, and you won't be sorry. And that little ebook on sustainability is really actually quite helpful. I'm so grateful that you did that. So I'll be putting a link to that in the show notes for sure, along with everything else, because I want to highlight that. It can be hard to figure out how to make that transition, and you've made it really easy. So I want to ask you the thrift questions, because yes, we just have to stop somewhere. You just have too many things, Sherry. I just can't. You'll just have to come back in the future. That's all. Okay, so here we go. How often?
Well, because I have kind of a large refashionista stash that made it over from Berlin when I moved to Toronto, I don't need to go thrifting a lot for my projects. I usually am just able to look in my closet stash and pull something out. So in all honesty, I usually go maybe once or twice a month, not really more than that. And I do also include going to a swap in my thrifting as well. So say we hit the thrift store once a month, and then maybe go to a clothing swap as well.
Oh, fun. I love clothing swaps. List or spontaneous?
Always a list, but you knew that probably.
Oh my God, you guys. If you could see all the notes that Sherry gave me, this woman is thorough. Thorough. I love it. Okay, yeah, definitely a list. But your personality is so spontaneous that I can see you grabbing things that weren't on your list.
Well, of course, but I always in my purse, I always have kind of the running list of things that if I don't have it in my stash, oh, I really want to do whatever to a pair of shoes. So I have, you know, my little list of things I'd like for that project. Jumpsuits are always on my list. Any vintage sequins, that's just always a given.
Thrift guides?
I don't know what that is. It might be.
You know, that's hilarious. I'm so glad you said that, because the day before yesterday I was editing an episode and somebody else said that. So just think about.
I'm an atheist, so that might be
right.
Why. Thrift
so
god.
So you have an opinion. So do you believe in a thrift god?
I thrifting karma, what you maybe mean, but I never called it thrift gods. I always called it thrifting karma.
No, I think there's some little god somewhere. Like, I think in one episode, my fantasy of the thrift gods is that they're like tiki gods in the forest. Like you go hiking, and then it's like in the Blair Witch Project, you stumble upon some weird branch art, and then you're like freaking out and you think you're going to get killed. And then it happens to be the thrift gods, and that's where they all live.
Yes. And you get a beautiful basket of vintage doilies.
Yeah, and you go there and you make sacrifices.
Exactly.
Yeah. Not of people, of stuff, right? You make stuffer sizes.
Yes, yes.
Well, and I don't think that's any crazier than some of the other religions that I've heard about. So don't harsh my vibe.
I think all religion is wackadoo. So,
so why not the religion of thrift? Why not?
That's totally fine with me. I think we could start our own, actually.
We could. It's a thrift cult. Let's see. Alone or with friends?
Well, sadly, since returning to North America, I don't have any friends around me. I know that sounds so horrible and sad, but it's true. My friends all live internationally, so yeah, it's usually just me or me and my daughter.
Okay, so you got to tell me your best or worst thrift story.
Well, the best is finding any vintage sequined garment. That's always like my entire year is made when I find a handmade vintage sequin garment. That's just the ultimate for me. regardless if it's my size or not, I will refashion it and make it into something for myself. And the
do you have a particular story that you want to share?
For the worst?
Sure, those are my favorite.
The worst actually happened shortly after I'd moved back to Canada and was at the thrift store, of course, trying to get the odds and ends that you need when you internationally move. And I saw a pair of vintage trousers. They were men's trousers, but they looked like they might fit me, which is awesome. So I took them into the change room. Now, I rarely try anything on because I know I can refashion it, but for some reason I decided to try these on. When I took them off the hanger and kind of opened them up, there was a full-on poo in the trousers.
Oh my God.
Skid mark, like a full log stuck to the inside.
Oh my God.
So I kind of shrieked.
What did you do to piss off the thrift guys?
Yeah. Yes, where's the thrift gods now, damn it? But yeah, that had to be literally one of, if not the worst moment of my thrifting life.
I don't even know how that happens. Like, how did anyone leave a giant poo in a pair of pants? And not only that, then how does someone put it on a hanger and put it in a clothing rack?
This is what I'm thinking is, was it there before it made it onto the shop floor? Or did someone decide, hey, no one is going to buy these because they're so ugly checkerboard vintage, and pooped in them and hung them up? I don't know.
Oh my God. I mean, my mind is racing with possibility. All I know is that you need to be a believer in the thrift guy from now on. Hashtag thrift cult. Hashtag new convert. Oh my God. I'm even smelling poop like in my nose. I just have the smell of poop now. That's a good story. That's a good thrift. See, you don't, if you only shop at the mall, you're not going to have any awesome stories.
Exactly. And look, thrifting, I always say, like, it's always an adventure. If you, even if you find anything, it's always fun. You know, like,
it's always fun.
Yeah. There's never a time that it's not a hilarious experience.
You can't even be mad that there's poop in the pants.
And I wasn't. Yeah, and I wasn't. I took, you know, I did my little shriek and then started giggling like you would. Took it out, took it up to the counter and was like, excuse me, but there appears to be poop in these trousers.
And I want to know their reaction. Like, what did they do?
First, the woman gave me, looked like she had no idea, like she didn't speak the language that I was speaking, you know.
Like, what? This is poop that you speak.
So I opened, and like I said, there, it was not a skid mark. It was not a stain. It was literally, I don't know, say like 5 centimeters, that about an inch long log of poop.
Oh my God. That is just disgusting. So she just can't compute. She's just like, oh.
She jumped back as you would.
Yes, as you would.
And said, okay. And, you know, and just kind of swept them off the counter into the bin. And yeah, but again, there was no like, oh, sorry about that. Nothing. So I was just like, okay, I guess this maybe not the first time. I don't know.
Exactly. Exactly. Like, that is just, that, you know, is madness. That they're like, okay. And she just chugs in the car.
Yeah. I mean, at least she didn't say,
I love it.
Them, you know, like,
that is too good. Too good. Well, thank you for sharing all your stories, and thanks for coming on Thrift Therapy. We're going to end it there. That's a good place to end it. Don't leave poop in pants. I mean, I didn't know it needed to be said, but I guess it does.
Yes. 100%.
Well, we'll talk soon. I'll see you online, Sherry.
Absolutely.
What do you always say? You always say, I'll catch you on the zigzag.
I do. Until next time, I'll catch you on the zigzag.
All right. Stay thrifty. Bye.
Bye.
Thanks, everybody, for tuning in to Thrift Therapy. I will see you here again in 2 weeks, and we will talk more thrifting. In the meantime, don't forget to rate, review, and subscribe to the podcast on iTunes. Tell a friend, and as always, stay thrifty.